that takes us through our finalization. Andrew, would you like to stay up and just move to number 14, or do you need some, you would like to do that? So what we will do, I know actually let me back up. Yeah, that is correct, We'll move to 14 now, yeah.
So Madam Chair, again, good afternoon, Commissioners. Secretary Roebling, Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. We'll go through two proposals here. The first one will be going through nine different deer seasons and then jump into, as I mentioned, Black Hills Elk. But before I go through each one of these proposals, I'll first have Andy Lindblom come and present on the deer seasons. We'll go through all of those. And then second, we'll jump into Elk, and Byron Buckley will be able to provide a presentation.
Okay, so we're going to start with 13. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, Madam Chair. And 13 would include... I don't think it's listed as an informational item, but Andy Lindblom was on the agenda to provide.
That sounds fine. Yep, that works good.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling. Andy Lindblom here, and I'm Senior Big Game Biologist out of Rapid City, and today I'm here to provide some updates on our deer populations across the state and provide some brief overview on our season recommendations. So before I dive into our deer data, I do want to first bring up our deer action plan. As you recall, we revised this last year, and you as a commission adopted this plan, and I'm bringing it up because a lot of the recommendations for proposal in front of you here today are guided by a lot of the objectives and strategies that we have in this plan. So just to hit on a few of the highlights, first, population objectives. As I'm sure you're aware, all of our deer units, we do have an objective for those deer units. Most of them are to increase or to maintain or to decrease to some level. We do have a quantifiable objective in one of our units, and that's the Black Hills. Our objective in that unit is 70,000 white-tailed deer. And the reason we do have a number objective for the Black Hills is that came about when we were developing our elk management plan and looking at forage allocation. We also have some strategies on hunter success that guide us as a staff on allocating buck licenses, basically. In each one of our deer units, we have some minimum thresholds on those licenses that allow for the harvest of a buck. So our limited access units, Custer State Park, we have the highest thresholds in those areas, as you might imagine, 75% hunter success. What that means is if that success falls below that, you're not gonna see us recommending more tags that allow for the harvest of a buck. We might be recommending less. If it falls above that for multiple years, we know we have additional opportunity we can provide for buck hunting in those areas. Black Hills West River deer, a little bit lower success at 60%. East River deer, National Wildlife Refuge is 50%. And then National Wildlife Refuge for muzzleloaders, a little bit lower at 40%. So we also have some strategies on how we allocate antlerless hunting opportunities. So if we have a firearm unit that has more than 50 antlerless tags in there, that unit is automatically open to archery and muzzleloader antlerless hunting opportunities. It'll be in that LM1 unit. If that firearm unit has no antlerless tags, archery and muzzleloader antlerless units are automatically closed, so it will not be in the LM1 unit. If it's between 0 and 50, our managers do have some discretion to turn it on and off. If we do have antlerless tags in those units, they can be used during our late season, of course. And again, if we have antlerless tags in those units, landowners are eligible for free antlerless-only tags. So now getting into the meat of what I wanted to talk about, I do want to go over our biological data, at least hit on a few high points. Won't be able to cover all of it, but I do want to talk about some of the important things that we do as an agency to monitor our populations. I want to talk a little bit about population modeling and estimating populations and trends of deer in different areas of the state and how we evaluate our deer season proposals. And ultimately, I will give a brief overview of our license changes and how we feel that's going to impact our deer populations. So I'm going to start first with herd composition. This is a season survey that we do pre-season, so basically pre-most of our hunting seasons, I should say. We do it in September and October for deer. Last year, we counted and classified about 16,000 deer, so staff got a really good sample size to estimate herd composition. And this is where we get our age and sex ratios. So I'm just going to focus on our age ratios. These are our fawn to doe ratios. This is our estimate of fawn recruitment. So an estimate of recruitment, in addition to knowing what the survival is on adult does, is really what drives our populations and how we can predict the trend in those populations. So fawn recruitment's very important. So last year we saw for white-tailed deer, we were at about 81 fawns per 100 does. For mule deer, of 74. You can see the trend there on that graph. Over time here, good news is for both species, we've been seeing an increase in recruitment. So that's really going to help on some of our deer populations. So diving into harvest now, this last year we harvested about 47,100 total deer. That's both species, both sexes, all seasons. That was about 1,500 less than we harvested the year before. You can see here a breakdown of weapon type by species. Overall, about 80% of our harvest comes from seasons that allow the use of a firearm. And when you look at the difference between species, on average, we're usually harvesting about 85% of our animals are white-tailed deer. So diving into white-tailed deer a little bit more, here's the harvest breakdown of the 40,000 white-tailed deer that we harvested. About almost 25,000 were bucks. You can see the trend here over time. The green bars is total harvest. The red and the blue lines is buck and doe harvest, respectively. Talk a little bit about history. I'm sure many of you recall from like 2000 to 2010, we had a growing deer population across the state. A lot of white-tailed deer. We as an agency did a lot of things to liberalize our regulations and harvest more deer, and we did accomplish that. We reached some record harvests. We were over objective and above social tolerance in every single unit of the state. And we were harvesting a lot, and then 2010 came along, and we got about two or three severe winters. So in addition to record harvests, we had record overwinter mortality. We had some record EHD outbreaks as well. We also saw some substantial habitat changes over those 10 years as well. So a lot of things going against our deer population all kind of came together, and our populations did crash. And we've been in the rebuilding phase since about 2014. You can see we reduced that doe harvest, that blue line. We have kept some on because white-tailed deer do rebound quickly, and we do have social tolerance to deal with. But we have been rebuilding our white-tailed population since 2014. So mule deer, similar story. Record harvest, believe it or not, we had too many mule deer in units. It's hard to imagine right now, I know, but we had a lot of complaints on mule deer. And again, since about 2014, we've been rebuilding our mule deer populations. We've been harvesting around 1,000 or so mule deer does. So next I want to move on to our abundance surveys. We have a couple areas in the state where we do survey for deer abundance. One of those areas is the northeast part of the state in DAUs 9 and 10. DAU, is, you'll hear that term sometimes by us, that's our data analysis unit. It's basically a study area where we aggregate some of our deer units that have similar habitat patterns, similar weather patterns, and similar vital statistics. So two of our areas in the northeast part of the state we do survey. We do have a sightability model. Actually developed by Secretary Roebling quite a few years ago, that we are still using today, and that provides a correction for the animals that we know we miss when we're flying the count. So last time we did this was in 2013. We try to do this survey about every 5 or 6 years in the northeast part of the state, depending on snow conditions. Our estimate 2023, for the Upper James River area, that's DAU 9, was about 37,000. For the Prairie Coteau area, DAU 10 was about 27,000. Now remember, 2023 was a pretty bad winter in eastern South Dakota. We do the survey in January, February timeframe, so we still had quite a bit of winter left. So we think this number is high. We believe we lost a lot more deer after that. And the recommendations that you have for license numbers in eastern South Dakota will reflect that. Another place, part of the state where we do an abundance survey is the Black Hills. We do basically do a road transect survey using spotlights. We use distance sampling to correct for animals that we don't see. This was also another graduate project to develop this methodology in the Black Hills. We do this every year. In 2024, we were at, our estimate was about 54,000 white-tailed deer. And you can see the trend in our estimates there, that graph over time. The red line is our estimate, the colored area is our confidence interval. But the bottom line is last year this estimate went up substantially. Probably not biologically realistic, but we are optimistic that whitetails are turning the corner, and we're hoping that this trend continues. Hemorrhagic disease is sometimes a significant source of mortality for deer in the northern latitudes, and we keep track of it here in South Dakota. You can see first this bar graph. This is a statewide totals of the reports that we get for hemorrhagic disease, and I'm talking about blue tongue virus and epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or EHD. So statewide, the last couple of years, the good news is, hasn't really been an issue statewide. But we do keep track of the reports that we get from the public and what staff confirms. And you can see that geographically it was an issue in the southeast part of the state, and some in the central as well. We did see pretty substantial mortalities to hemorrhagic disease. So again, that knowledge and knowing that we lost some deer in those areas, that will be reflected in the recommendations in front of you today. Another important source of mortality to keep track of is winter severity. We get some pretty bad winters in South Dakota that can, we can see some really high overwinter mortality, as you're well aware. But the good news here is, this is our statewide index. Last couple years really hasn't been an issue. As you all recall, 2023 was pretty bad, but we haven't seen it bad the last couple years. So that's good news for our deer herds. We do quantify what winter severity is. We look at snowfall and monthly air temperatures, and we do that from November to the end of April. So it is a quantified number, so we can compare it from year to year. Obviously, this year isn't over, so this is draft, but as you all know, so far it's looking pretty good for winter and lower deer mortality. So putting it all together, take all of our survey data, much of which I just talked about. Of course, we include some of our research data that we've done over the years in the state. And we use population models to project abundance and growth rates. Ultimately, that helps us with the license allocation that you have in front of you. And that helps us meet our objectives. So I want to talk a little bit about those objectives. So here's our white-tailed deer objectives. The graph on your left are the objectives map that we talked about the last time that I talked about deer in front of the commission in 2023. As you recall, the colors, the blue means we want to increase deer. That's our objective. Red means we want to decrease, and green means we're about where we want to be from a social perspective. Well, remember, 2023, we're having a tough winter, and that does affect social tolerance, and that does affect how we manage deer in those areas. And so we are about where we wanted to be in a lot of areas in eastern South Dakota. We had a lot of requests for services, a lot of depredation, a lot of damages going on. So we even had some areas where we felt like we wanted to reduce the deer population. So fast forward to the bigger map there now. After realizing some overwinter mortality, having some pretty bad hemorrhagic disease outbreaks in the southeast part of the state. In addition, we've had some flooding in the southeast part of the state too that's likely affected some of our fawn crop. We're in a different situation now, and our objective is to increase deer in a lot of those areas, and again, your license recommendations in front of you will reflect that. Moving on to mule deer, don't need two maps for this because this looks exactly the same way it was last time I talked to you. We pulled a lot of the levers already for mule deer. Our objective is to grow mule deer populations as fast as we can in a lot of our units. But you can see in the northwest part of the state, we are starting to get closer to objective. Some of those areas, we're actually at objective in Perkins and Corson County. And those other areas in the light blue, you can see we're getting closer to where we want to be. So, just a quick summary on changes in hunting licenses so for our firearm season, we are recommending about almost 13,000 fewer firearm tags or 8,000 fewer licenses. I did want to throw up a table here on where those reductions are occurring. You can see the DAU map there and the numbers that I have bolded in red there, DAU 7, 8, and 11 is where you're seeing the most substantial license reductions. And you can see in the map that's in the southeast part of the state, south central part of the state, where we've had some of the bigger losses. Also should note that because of some of the reductions that you're seeing in firearm licenses, we are closing 19 additional units to archery and muzzleloader animals hunting opportunities. So our prediction on how this is going to change harvest, this is a projection based off of previous year's harvest success, but we would estimate that we're going to reduce white-tail doe harvest by about 3,100, buck harvest by about 2,400. Mule deer, pretty much going to be about the same. You're not seeing a whole lot of recommended changes. So the end result here, the last thing I want to mention is our population estimates, basically the density across the state. These are maps of, the top one is our white-tailed deer density across the state. The bottom one would be our mule deer density for white-tailed deer. Pre-season 2024, we were estimating about 5.7 deer per square mile. Of course, deer are not distributed equally across the state, as you can see in the map, or even across those areas within those DAUs, but that's an average. We are predicting about a 9% growth rate for our white-tailed deer. Mule deer, obviously lower density, about 2.3 deer per square mile on average. That includes our high and our low areas. And mule deer don't grow quite as fast, but we are predicting about a 5% growth rate. With that, that's all I have. I'm sure stay around for questions.
Very good. Questions for Andy?
Yeah, Commissioner Beese here, Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Looking at your charts there, we just heard from a lot of people in that southwest corner about Fall River County and even in Custer County, how severe are deer down, but we're lumped into a bigger management unit, DUA-4, I believe it says. Are we trying to, like when we get into severe number decrease in areas like 27A, 21A, would it be more, effective if we started with more micromanaged, smaller units instead of putting in a big, huge one like number four is? Because if we don't, these units that we're talking about, we're not going to see much for an increase if we don't do something to more micromanage some of them smaller units.
Where's Andy?
That's my opinion.
Do you want to respond?
To the chair?
Yes.
Yeah, Commissioner Bees, I certainly don't disagree with those comments. I do want to just clarify a little bit when I talk about our DAUs or our data analysis units. They are strictly that. They're for data analysis. We're aggregating deer units that have similar geography, similar weather patterns, have similar vital rates. So from a prediction standpoint on how the deer are doing, that's the purposes of our DAUs. But from a management standpoint, we are still managing our deer at the firearm unit level, which is 80% of our harvest is coming from firearm hunters, and we still allocate licenses at that level. So I definitely agree.
Commissioner Beast, any follow-ups?
No, that's fine for now.
Very good. Commissioner Cole.
I don't know what slide it was on. I can't find it in my notes here, but you had a total harvest right at the beginning of your presentation, and I think it was 37,000. And I don't know if it was whitetail or all deer. But right there, that 40. My question is, does that include every license? Does it include mentor, youth? That would be the two, right?
For the chair, yes, it does.
It does include those. Okay. And then the second thing, just as a point of clarification, I think we've all been asked this a lot, but I want to make sure that we say it right again. Any county that does not have an antlerless, either East or West River, we're going to refer to them as the rifle licenses, they are closed to muzzleloader, antlerless, and to archery, correct?
Correct.
And actually, that number, is it under 50? Or is it just if they're... How does that work?
In the chair? I did try to explain a little bit, and I'm sure I didn't do a very good job because it's a little bit convoluted. But if we don't have any firearm licenses in that unit, it is automatically closed to archery and muzzleloader hunting opportunities.
For animals, deer, dogs.
Yes, thank you, Secretary. So there will be no, it will not be in that LM1 unit. Now, if we have, for firearm licenses, if we have 50 or more analyst firearm licenses, that will automatically open up that unit to antlerless archery and muzzleloader hunting opportunities. So we'll be included in that LM1 unit. Now, the discretion occurs when between 0 and 50. Managers can turn on and turn off that.
Okay. And just a follow-up, my 11-part question here. The second thing, I just noticed this, and I'm going to step on our chairman's territory a little bit, but I see a lot of things were addressed, obviously, concerns I had last year, and I don't want to do when I told you so, but I remember saying at the end of my comments, this is all great unless we have a big die-off. But anyhow, the micromanagement thing, I'm like totally against micromanagement, except maybe in this case, and I think it, I know it's probably not words you like to hear as biologists, but I think that some of the social impact of what's going on, especially East River and in that southwest corner, is something that we need to look at a little more seriously, I think. I think you've adjusted things well. But the one thing that I didn't see until I walked in here is, I'm from Yankton County, so I hear a lot of Yankton, Bonham, Hutchinson, Turner, Clay, Union, and those are the areas that you've done an adjustment with one exception. If I'm not mistaken, there was no adjustment made in Clay County. And I just heard comments from landowners over there, and that I feel I have to mention that because that was something I was contacted about by a couple of Clay County landowners. So my question would be, first of all, am I right? There was no adjustment made between last year and this year?
It's 100 tags there.
Right, there were 100 last year. Okay, so the difference is buck tags. Perfect, okay. And that's another thing that, I don't know what you talked a lot about, but that's something obviously I'm a big proponent of, the buck tag thing. And the last thing I want to add to that, for people that are screaming about our whitetail numbers specifically and our deer numbers in general, you know, landowners, remember that you have the right to tell people what they can harvest on your property. I know we spoke earlier today with a couple people, and, you know, just the ability of that is a big thing. I grew up when you could get an East River license every third year, and then some of them were buck only and some were even trophy licenses. And I think we've managed a great way, but I think some of that needs to come back. And I would just tell everybody listening to make sure that landowners understand that they have a right to tell people what they can harvest on their property. So thanks for what you're doing. And other than Clay County, I think it's great.
Very good, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm going to actually just tag on to that a little bit. I've been getting a lot of phone calls from folks in the southeast corner with several screaming to completely shut the season down. And I've had some very good conversations with the department that's helped educate me on the history of kind of the phase that we go through. Have we ever shut a season down? And could you talk about the decision not to go, or the conversation to not do that, just for those folks that have been reaching out to me, and I know they've reached out to Commissioner Paul as well. I want them to understand we've been through this before and why that's not a decision we make.
He's looking at me, so I'll take the question. Madam Chair, Kevin Robley, New Secretary of Davidson Parks. No, we have never shut a season down, at least in the last 20 years that I can recall. What we have shut down, though, is antlerless harvest. And that is what we are proposing here today, is a massive reduction in antlerless harvest. We still would like to offer some opportunity to have a buck or two, or in some cases 50 in a unit or 100, to be harvested. Because that opportunity still exists in some of these areas where EHD has not impacted the herd. The other part of this, in regards to population performance and growth, is all dependent on that antlerless population. And that is why we are very, very focused And the allocation here you see is very focused on the reduction of antlerless licenses, which when we do shut off the faucet for antlerless harvest, then that also closes the archery muzzleloader season. That is a very important thing to consider here. So in a sense, you are closing the season for antlerless deer. And these units where we're trying to really grow the herd.
Very good, thank you. That helps me, and I think for those folks that have been calling in, and I'm just going to clarify, they wanted the season shut down in southeastern South Dakota. So that's the phone calls that we've been getting, so thank you for that. Additional questions, comments from the commission? Commissioner Cole?
Sorry to keep going. One thing I do want to mention, too, that we haven't talked about, even in those, and we can take the Yankee and the Clay County since there's no antlerless there, there's still mentor and there's still youth available. I know some, if I'm talking about the most antlerless, of course. And I think, having thought about that long and hard, I talked to a lot of sportsmen, a lot of landowners, and I think that's something we probably need to keep, just like Secretary Roebling said, shutting down parts of it, I think, are what we need to address, and if we eliminate everything, those kids are still a future, and I think that you guys are doing the right job and making sure that we have a future in deer. So I think that's important that we keep those. So that's it.
Very good. Thank you for the information. And then I understand, Andrew, are you going to take us through all of the proposal action sheets?
Yes, Madam Chair. I feel like I apologize when I get to these seasons and there's a lot to go through. I think the discussion was evident here that deer regulations are fairly complex. The take-home message is that in a lot of the state, deer numbers are down. We're trying to do everything we can to reduce antlerless harvest to get back to objective. So with that being said, preview of the nine action sheets that I will go through that represent the nine different deer seasons. There are only four of those that I would ask the commission to take action on based on the department's recommendation. The others are just more informational, but certainly would welcome any discussion about those. And then at the end would be the the firearm license allocation specifically for our various limited seasons. So I will start with the mentored and youth deer hunting season. That is chapter 410601 and 410663. Deputy Director Switzer went over a lot of the changes to the mentored youth and did a really great job of describing how we want to make that avenue easier to recruit hunters in South Dakota to maximize that positive experience. And with that, the statute change and the administrative action that was proposed earlier are steps in that direction, but certainly the department wants to look into taking some more steps into simplifying that. So you'll see before you today in this mentored and youth deer hunting season, there's no recommended change. The intent is to move forward with the action that was proposed with the mentored hunting season, and then over the course of the next year or two, have some very in-depth internal department discussions on how we can simplify that even more to make it less confusing, if you will, to provide an opportunity for our youth under 18 years old. So I'll start with this again, no recommended change, but the mentored and youth deer hunting season, very, very similar. There's some very slight nuanced differences that I think I probably need to touch on just to clarify. But first, just the general season, these things are the exact same between both seasons. The dates, September 13th to January 1st of this year. Next year would be September 12th to January 1st. So a long season, a lot of opportunity. That season is antlerless only. And if you look on the right side of the screen, you can see the map. We've split that up into two areas. This was action by the commission several years ago, I believe. And this was directly as a result of some of the testimony you heard about no mule deer in southwestern South Dakota. So the intent here was to not allow any mule deer harvest, even though this demographic is a demographic we really want to get into hunting. We actually limited the opportunity for those individuals to harvest a mule deer doe in all of that dark gray shaded region. So that's a really important point to note that youth mentored hunters cannot harvest a mule deer doe in, for example, Fall River County. It does complicate regulations a little bit, which isn't ideal for recruitment, but that step was taken a few years ago, again, to limit mule deer harvest, especially in the periphery of the range where we see the most concern of inability to get back to objective. So then, hopefully I did a decent job of summing up the open units, how those are different. And youth or mentor can pick either or. The primary difference between youth and mentor is that a mentored hunter cannot apply for any other hunting seasons, whereas a youth can. So the mentored hunter is limited in that regard. They can get that license. It's a very introductory opportunity. They don't have to have hunt safe. They've got to be 15 years of age or younger. And they have obviously a mentor with them, but then they would be precluded from applying for any other seasons. A youth deer hunter is age essentially 12 to 18, and they can apply for those other firearm deer seasons, limited issue licenses. Again, the intent of mentor was kind of allow that individual to dip their toes in the water without going through hunt safe or anything like that. So that's the only slight nuanced difference between the two. Low-cost licenses for those individuals, again, trying to remove barriers. But with that season, there's no recommended change. If you scroll to the next page, we do have harvest information. Next month, I will have 2024 data updated there. We can also share unit-specific harvest, but I do have that handy here where if there's any questions on specific counties. But I think Commissioner Cole summed it up best in that. It gets very difficult to limit youth opportunity without complicating things too much. So with that, can take any questions on the youth or mentored hunting deer season, and department recommends no action with that one.
Any questions? Comments? Seeing none from the commissioners here and hearing none from those online, we can move on.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So the next season is apprentice deer hunting season. Almost identical to youth and mentor concept. This is trying to get hunters into hunting. This is for the 18 plus demographic hunters that haven't hunted in the last 10 years. Only available to residents. That's how it differs from youth and mentor. A reduced fee license, and this one, again, similar to youth deer hunting, does not affect eligibility for other seasons. Same exact date as youth and mentor. With the apprentice deer hunter season 410644, we are recommending a very slight rule cleanup. It's just literally an oversight in that YOD was referenced. YOD stands for youth deer, and it should be changed to APD. So that is a very simple strike through and change, three letters. But other than that, we see relatively low harvest, but I think you'll maybe hear a presentation from one of our recruitment staff, and they'll say this is one opportunity that does try to hit another demographic of getting people into deer hunting. With that, commission would need to take action if they agree with the recommendation to make that minor rule change.
Questions, comments from the commission? Seeing none here or online, we can move forward with this. We do have to adopt the YOD to APD as well. So we will need a motion for the language cleanup. Motion made by Teal.
Second by Beast.
Seconded by Beast. Thank you. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Those opposed? So that cleanup is made and
aye.
Moving forward.
Okay, Madam Chair, moving on to archery deer, 410622. I think I'm going to be able to promise here this is going to be the most complicated one with the most substantive recommended changes. And essentially what this revolves around is this discussion of low deer numbers across the state. And we, even though there aren't any changes that will affect antlerless harvest here with archery deer season, what the recommended change would do would give the commission ability via administrative action to change the license type. So let's say, knock on wood, we don't get another year of hemorrhagic disease, but we got that, or we got a really severe winter across the state. We would only need to use administrative action to change the license type from, say, any deer to buck only for archery. So I'll step through those exact rule changes. First, just go over the season structure. And I did forget to mention that these proposals would all be finalized next month at the May Commission meeting in Custer State Park. So this would be a two-year recommendation, archery season, September 1 to January 1st. Slight differences between resident and non-resident opportunity. Residents are unlimited. Anyone can get a Type 01, any deer license. Any resident can get a LM13. Likewise, a non-resident can get an LM13. Those are antlerless licenses, but those are limited to those units we just discussed with no firearm antlerless licenses. Non-residents are limited on public land, essentially. So we have that limit. I believe it's 2,200 hunters for deer that are limited on public land. That change was made a few years ago, unlimited on private land. So again, the kind of not a substantive change with the license type, but all we're going to do in rule is remove any reference to license type. So whether that be antlerless deer, antlerless whitetail, any deer, you'll see that struck through a lot of the rules here, and we'll just reference the unit. So for example, ARD-ST1, that's our statewide archery unit that's an any deer license. If the commission wanted to take administrative action, that could be changed easily to buck only or whatever license type you wanted. No recommendation today to change that, but just that's an FYI of what would be happening. I believe in the proposed changes, it's number 3 and number 4 and number 2. All reference, also what Andy tried to go through, is if we have 50 or fewer licenses, the option is to turn that off. Before, that was black and white specified in the rule. This had some discretion in rule to say, no, that unit, for example, may have 25 firearm licenses, but we do not want to allow archery hunting there for antlerless deer. And then one last thing to, it's going completely against the theme of today, which is low deer numbers. We're trying to protect antlerless deer, but in municipal areas, it's the opposite. You heard it in Hot Springs. In fact, one of the proposed changes is to create a municipal unit there, so there could be the opportunity to harvest deer. I don't believe there's any recommendation to do that, but that, again, would afford via administrative action that opportunity. And then Sioux Falls, folks know that Sioux Falls is our big city of the state, and urban deer problems, while not like maybe Chicago or Minneapolis, they are becoming somewhat of an issue. And the desire is to expand that a few miles. It doesn't quite go, bisects T, goes east of Brandon. Doesn't quite go to Crooks and Hartford, but those are kind of the north, south, east, west boundaries of just expanding Sioux Falls a few miles to kind of get within a typical deer home range so they can't just escape to these sanctuaries and these areas just outside the city limits of Sioux Falls. There are access permits. Important to note that those are going to be an administrative rule as well, but those would be areas like Custer National Forest, Custer National Park, Goodhart State Park, different areas where we want to limit the number of archery hunters, and it's usually specifically public land, and we'll get into those in the administrative action license numbers, but would be some recommended changes. I can go through those in more detail if I didn't do a great job explaining them, but substantively the only change is expanding Sioux Falls and creating a municipal unit for Hot Springs.
Any questions? We will need to take action on this to move it forward.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Lockin.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Bartling. All those in favor will signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, it is adopted and will move forward. And we'll move on to the next.
All right, Madam Chair. General muzzle-loading deer season basically parallels archery exactly, with the exception of for the any deer licenses, there's zero allocation for non-residents. So that's only open to residents, and it's limited at 1,000 individuals. Otherwise, that LM antlerless unit matches archery exactly. That's unlimited for residents and non-residents. We do have a recommended change, but those will parallel exactly what I just went through with the archery deer, and that we wouldn't specify the license type in rule, and we would also add that discretion where if there's 25 firearm licenses in a unit, we could potentially turn off that antlerless only hunting opportunity in that unit for muzzleloader. Long season, or not as long as archery, but a month-long season in December, so providing opportunity to hunt deer there. Late season, hopefully coming into feed, and provides a unique opportunity that's a little bit different than our firearm opportunity, for which mostly occurs during the month of November. With that, I won't go into too much detail. I know we're kind of getting late in the day here, but can certainly take any questions on muzzleloader deer, but would recommend those slight changes, again, parallel the changes from the archery chapter.
Any questions? Again, general muzzle-loading deer season. We will need to approve this as well to move it forward. Moved by Call.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner White. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, it is approved and we'll move forward.
Okay, so while I have four more action sheets to go through, this is the last one that the department has a recommendation to make a change. This would be the Black Hills deer hunting season, chapter 410619. This season, for the month of November, two-year recommendation again being finalized in May. Limited number of licenses here. You'll see in the license recommendation, essentially no antlerless specific harvest would be recommended in the Black Hills deer hunting season. So trying to grow that population, Andy did a great job of, even though it looks like a blip, we do feel that we're getting that whitetail population to turn the corner in the Black Hills, which is a good sign. Just some slight, again, in an essence of more rule cleanup, modifying the boundary description of the BH1 unit, which is the Black Hills wide unit, just clarifying those boundaries and specifying that Custer State Park is indeed excluded from that. And then inadvertently, there was a rule language that said the antlerless units are only available to residents, whereas Black Hills deer hunting is open to residents and non-residents at 8% allocation. So just a slight change to clean that up, but can take any questions with Black Hills deer, but would recommend that slight change to the boundaries and adding non-residents into antlerless licenses being available.
Very good. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, we do need a motion to move this forward. And a second.
Beach will motion.
Motion made by Commissioner Beast, seconded by Commissioner Cole. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, it will move forward.
Okay, Madam Chair, would you like me to take the next four and just run through overview of the season since there's no recommended changes?
I think an overview would be fine.
Okay. So the first one, Custer State Park deer hunting season 410641, that similar to Black Hills deer season is the month of November. Specific licenses for that season, there won't be any antlerless licenses recommended there, which I'll get into administrative action. No recommended changes to that season, and I don't think too many other details specific for Custer State Park hunting. West River deer season, moving forward, a few pages here, chapter 410620. This season does get fairly complicated. This is one of our main firearm deer hunting seasons, obviously. It has two different sets of season dates. Gregory County is an exception where it is a split season. The first weekend of November and the second weekend of November are two different groups of hunters, and then it pairs up at the end of November, whereas the rest of West River, the hunting units all start the second week of November and run for, I believe, it's 3 weeks, and that's all detailed in the season dates. Limited issue licenses for those seasons. General theme when I get to the license allocation will be a decreased West River, but not nearly as substantial as a decreased East River. Moving on to national wildlife refuges, we have three of those in the state, Sand Lake, Luck Creek, and Wabe. Provide a unique deer hunting opportunity. There's usually a weapon or season date restrictions, and they're unique in that they're obviously 100% public access and provide hunters an opportunity, such as you'll see the recommendation with the change for Sand Lake is there's a lot of water there, which in my opinion would create a really interesting hunting opportunity depending on water levels and when we get freeze and things like that, that hunters can get in there and get access to deer some years, not access other years. So it's broken up into intervals to try to match windows where deer at peak rut versus where people may be able to access different parts of that refuge later in the year. No recommended changes to any of those refuge deer seasons. I won't go through all the dates, but they do have a little bit more complexity with those season dates and broken up into those intervals, trying to parse out opportunities for different individuals. And those are usually take a couple years wait to obtain some of those licenses. East River deer season, that's the final one. Matches kind of almost the exact same structure as West River deer season. However, it starts later in the month of November, as opposed to West River deer, which is going to start a couple weeks earlier. So that one would run into to the beginning of December there. This one, different than West River deer, is it's resident only. So the only way a non-resident can hunt East River deer is if they obtain a leftover license, I believe. Otherwise, 100% of the licenses are allocated to residents East River. A lot of discussion internally. I'll jump into those license numbers next, but definitely looking at ways to try to limit harvest as much as possible there. And so with any of those, I can take questions on those four seasons I just ran through.
Very good. Any questions for Andrew? Seeing none for the commission or hearing none from those that are online. It is a lot to take in, and then I know you've said this a couple of times for the four proposals that we did vote on. Finalization for those is next month in Custer, correct?
Yes, Madam Chair.
As I know, we may hear from folks across the state on those numbers and what that looks like. So finalization will take place in May. With that, yep.
And if you will, there's license numbers, too, that I can run through. Otherwise, I certainly can wait till tomorrow.
We have you here. Let's go through those.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'll try to, like I said, I know it's late in the day, try to get through this as fast as possible. But as you heard from Andy's presentation, there was a lot of work done from the department starting way back in the end of last year, before that hunting season was even over. We knew we needed to do some things to address specifically southeastern South Dakota, but also some areas that Commissioner Beast referenced in southwestern South Dakota. The main change we made, while it'll look like there's not a high percentage change of licenses, 17% reduction, but that doesn't tell the whole story. A lot of licenses were switched from an any deer type license to a buck only. So there's going to be additional does that are saved in that a lot of those units where we really want to, for example, Clay County, we switch those to buck only. So in theory, the only person that should be able to harvest a female deer in Clay County would be youth mentor or landowner on their own land. So the first part of licenses, I just included a table now because if the change is finalized to remove license type from rule via administrative action here, it would be prudent to at least list what those license types are among those unlimited deer seasons. You can see that in the archery and muzzleloader deer license types. Again, no change from what we typically have with those. Access permits, there was no change to that. Last year, if you remember, when we reduced licenses in southeastern South Dakota, we took away some antlerless-only access permits. So no change, no antlerless harvest in any of those public areas with our access permits. They'll all stay the exact same as last year. Next table is the muzzleloader and archery antlerless-only hunting units. So an individual, either muzzleloader or archery, can get one license and hunt antlerless deer in those counties. So these are actually counties where we're still wanting to have some level of antlerless harvest. I will say it's important to note Fall River County came up several times. There are antlerless licenses available, at least being recommended in those counties. So there is archery hunting in those counties. Worked with our regional staff, certainly happy to have some more discussions about that, but they felt strongly that there was still enough antlerless deer where we wanted to keep some sort of level of antlerless harvest in those counties. In fact, there's 127B, 50 of which are private only, and there would be 50 and 27A. So basically giving the landowner an ability to harvest more than just that single deer on their own land in that county or that unit. Moving on to muzzleloader deer, no change in that. That's 1,000 any deer licenses. And then Black Hills, while it looks like no change, that's another very important one to note. Black Hills came up a lot today, southern Black Hills. We don't want to maybe for sure not harvest any mule deer does, and whitetail deer does really don't have a burning desire to harvest any of those. So all license types in the Black Hills, 200 any deer, were switched to 200 buck any buck deer, and then 2750, which was any whitetail, was switched to any whitetail buck. So, again, shouldn't be any harvest with the exception of youth and mentor can harvest it, antlerless whitetail deer in the Black Hills, and then a landowner on land. Custer State Park, we are seeing fairly good opportunities there for deer increasing there on public land. Haven't really seen any issues related to hemorrhagic disease or winter kills, so I think we can definitely provide some more opportunity there. That was an increase of 5 from 20 to 25. Any whitetail licenses there in the park, and no harvest of mule deer in the park. Refuge, I briefly touched on the one change, was just closing Sand Lake Season 3. We really see very limited harvest, just the timing of that season. I think it's kind of after peak rut and before you kind of get into those later winter, December conditions where we see some additional harvest with muzzleloader only, I believe, in Sand Lake. Last two season tables are going to be West River and East River. There's a lot of numbers in there. Again, it being late in the day, I probably won't go through a ton of specific numbers. I did mention Fall River County. You can see there, while some of those any deer licenses were switched to buck only, there are still antlerless specific licenses. So, for example, 27A, there would be 25 private land only licenses. 27B, there would be 50, one antlerless whitetail license, and 50, one antlerless whitetail license, 13P, which is only available on private land. So staff, getting to that micromanagement discussion, Andy provides the data at a zoomed out scale, and regional staff look at this very much so on a unit by unit scale and determine what they think is a reasonable amount of licenses to offer given what landowners are saying, what deer hunters are saying, and where that deer population's at. In general, just overall, a pretty big decrease. West River, if you go to, I think, one more table ahead on the slide there, you can see in the bottom, about the fifth column, there's a 12% reduction in licenses, and that equates to a 22% reduction in tags. That's not the full picture. Again, a lot of those licenses were switched to buck only. Moving to East River, I think Andy's objective map probably tells the story best. Wherever you see dark blue on that map, there is no doe harvest. The one exception is Brown County. Historically, that county would have 1,000 antlerless specific licenses and would still be a stable population. So that, while there's a substantial increase in Brown County, there's still 300 antlerless specific tags there, and that just shows the capacity in that county for deer to grow and the number of deer we have up there. Also very far from hemorrhagic disease issues that we've heard a lot about in the last probably too many years with back-to-back years there in southeastern South Dakota. At this point, I try to be brief and not go through any more counties unless there's specific questions, and certainly I can try to answer those, or regional staff, Andy, or others that can provide some insight why the numbers are what they are. No action would be needed today, just administrative action next month, so certainly some time here to adjust those numbers if necessary.
Any questions from the commission? From our commissioners online, any final questions before we let Andrew go? Seeing none, a lot of good information. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And with that, we are past 5 o'clock. I know we don't want to keep anybody from dinner or happy hour, so we are going to hold everything on the agenda for tomorrow. We will come back and start with item 14, and we will go down the line and finish up our April 2025 GFMP Commission meeting. We will be in recess until tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.